Alexandra, you worked at an airport before. You said you worked in aviation.
Yes. My previous job was to write contracts for an aviation company, and we bought and sold airplanes and aircraft engines. So we did a lot of marketing and leasing and speaking to people from different countries and airlines wanting to buy equipment.
Wow.
So, a lot of negotiations.
Can you explain what leasing is?
Leasing is when our company owns a piece of equipment, either an airplane or an engine, and a customer has a need. For example, if their airplane has to do some maintenance and they need a replacement, then we will let them use our airplane for a certain amount of months. Like, you rent a car, same thing, same idea.
Oh, wow. And you lease not only the plane, but engines and...
As well. Sometimes you have an airplane that's delayed at the airport because of some reason, and they need to swap an engine out or whatever.
Right before the planes take off, they sometimes switch engines?
Oh, no, they'll take the passengers off and put them on another plane because it takes a lot longer than the 10 or 15 minute turnaround. But you will have, it's more a emergency type of situation, so they'll take the engine off, and it might be an overnight deal. So we go ahead and furnish a replacement engine until they can move that plane back to where it belongs or have the engine repaired.
Wow. So can you lease a pilot?
You can lease a crew, yes.
Okay.
It's called a wet lease, and we used to do dry leases, meaning we only provided the equipment, but a wet lease includes a full crew that will fly the airplane, the flight attendants, etc. So, yeah.
It's very interesting. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Alexandra, you worked at an airport before. You said you worked in aviation.
Yes. My previous job was to write contracts for an aviation company, and we bought and sold airplanes and aircraft engines. So we did a lot of marketing and leasing and speaking to people from different countries and airlines wanting to buy equipment.
Wow.
So, a lot of negotiations.
Can you explain what leasing is?
Leasing is when our company owns a piece of equipment, either an airplane or an engine, and a customer has a need. For example, if their airplane has to do some maintenance and they need a replacement, then we will let them use our airplane for a certain amount of months. Like, you rent a car, same thing, same idea.
Oh, wow. And you lease not only the plane, but engines and...
As well. Sometimes you have an airplane that's delayed at the airport because of some reason, and they need to swap an engine out or whatever.
Right before the planes take off, they sometimes switch engines?
Oh, no, they'll take the passengers off and put them on another plane because it takes a lot longer than the 10 or 15 minute turnaround. But you will have, it's more emergency type of situation. So they'll take the engine off, and it might be an overnight deal. So we go ahead and furnish a replacement engine until they can move that plane back to where it belongs or have the engine repaired.
Wow. So can you lease a pilot?
You can lease a crew, yes. Okay. It's called a wet lease, and we used to do dry leases, meaning we only provided the equipment, but a wet lease includes a full crew that will fly the airplane, the flight attendants, etc.
So, yeah. That's very interesting. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Hillary Clinton didn't think it would end up this way. She had felt good about her prospects of winning the 2016 presidential election. So good that she had planned what she'd wear on her first trip to Washington as president-elect. She knew what policies she would push in her first few weeks in office. She and her husband even bought the house next door to their home in Chappaqua, New York, because she thought when she became president, she'd travel with an entourage and they'd need somewhere to sleep when she was at home. Since the election, Hillary Clinton has spent much more time at home than she could have imagined.
It's actually great. It is wonderful being home, having time to putter around, clean closets, seeing my grandchildren. So it's not where I wanted to be, but it is a great reminder of what more there is to do in life and what the future can be like.
Figuring out her future has meant making peace with the past. And that's what her book is all about. It's called What Happened, and in it, Clinton blames her election loss on former FBI Director James Comey, the media, the Russians. She does, however, take responsibility for failing to connect with voters in an important way.
I understood there was anger and fear, and people were, you know, really unhappy because of what had happened in the financial crash. And I understood that my opponent had been, from the beginning of the primaries, fueling that anger and providing scapegoats and a kind of cynical nostalgia. I understood all of that. What I didn't really do well is conveying how I got the despair and the anger. I talked about it. I talked about jobs. I talked about the despair of people in America, white Americans who were dying at an unbelievable rate because of suicide, opioid abuse, alcoholism, so much that really signified that despair. I talked about it, but I didn't really convey the emotional resonance.
You kept going to policy solutions, and you should have given a more emotional response.
I think more emotional response, but honest.
Your campaign advisors told you time and again that a significant portion of the American electorate didn't trust you. They polled on that particular question and that word. Donald Trump used that. He branded you as, quote unquote, crooked Hillary. Bernie Sanders even picked up on that theme. Why didn't you tackle the trust issue head on?
Well, we thought we did, and I certainly tried to do that. But it's absolutely true that between the consistent, pounding on me, first by Bernie Sanders, but more consistently by his supporters, and the theme that Trump stuck with, it really was hard to break out from under that. And then, unfortunately, the Comey letter, aided to great measure by the Russian WikiLeaks, raised all those doubts again.
You mentioned, and you spend time in the book talking about the forces you feel were working against you. You also say sexism was one of them. But you yourself in the book acknowledge that a good number of young women didn't vote for you, which is presumably not a sexist choice. They just weren't inspired by your message.
I think it's a lot more complicated than that. I did win the women's vote. I didn't win the vote of white women, but I got more white women votes than Barack Obama did. But as I point out in the book, I talk about a conversation I had with Sheryl Sandberg, who has really helped to put into perspective a lot of research that supports common experiences. And, she said, look, the research is absolutely definitive. The more professionally successful a man is, the more likable he is. The more professionally successful a woman is, the less likable.
Hillary Clinton didn't think it would end up this way. She had felt good about her prospects of winning the 2016 presidential election. So good that she had planned what she'd wear on her first trip to Washington as president-elect. She knew what policies she would push in her first few weeks in office. She and her husband even bought the house next door to their home in Chappaqua, New York, because she thought when she became president, she'd travel with an entourage and they'd need somewhere to sleep when she was at home. Since the election, Hillary Clinton has spent much more time at home than she could have imagined.
It's actually great. It is wonderful being home, having time to putter around, clean closets, seeing my grandchildren. So it's not where I wanted to be, but it is a great reminder of what more there is to do in life and what the future can be like.
Figuring out her future has meant making peace with the past. And that's what her book is all about. It's called What Happened, and in it, Clinton blames her election loss on former FBI Director James Comey, the media, the Russians. She does, however, take responsibility for failing to connect with voters in an important way.
I understood there was anger and fear, and people were, really unhappy because of what had happened in the financial crash. And I understood that my opponent had been, from the beginning of the primaries, fueling that anger and providing scapegoats and a kind of cynical nostalgia. I understood all of that. What I didn't really do well is conveying how I got the despair and the anger. I talked about it. I talked about jobs. I talked about the despair of people in America, white Americans who were dying at an unbelievable rate because of suicide, opioid abuse, alcoholism, so much that really signified that despair. I talked about it, but I didn't really convey the emotional resonance.
You kept going to policy solutions, and you're saying you should have given a more emotional response.
I think more emotional response, but honest.
Your campaign advisors told you time and again that a significant portion of the American electorate didn't trust you. They polled on that particular question and that word. Donald Trump used that. He branded you as, quote unquote, crooked Hillary. Bernie Sanders even picked up on that theme. Why didn't you tackle the trust issue head on?
Well, we thought we did, and I certainly tried to do that. But it's absolutely true that between the consistent, pounding on me, first by Bernie Sanders, but more consistently by his supporters, and the theme that Trump stuck with, it really was hard to break out from under that. And then, unfortunately, the Comey letter, aided to great measure by the Russian WikiLeaks, raised all those doubts again.
You mentioned, and you spend time in the book talking about the forces you feel were working against you. You also say sexism was one of them. But you yourself in the book acknowledge that a good number of young women didn't vote for you, which is presumably not a sexist choice. They just weren't inspired by your message.
I think it's a lot more complicated than that. I did win the women's vote. I didn't win the vote of white women, but I got more white women votes than Barack Obama did. But as I point out in the book, I talk about a conversation I had with Sheryl Sandberg, who has really helped to put into perspective a lot of research that supports common experiences. And, she said, look, the research is absolutely definitive. The more professionally successful a man is, the more likable he is. The more professionally successful a woman is, the less likable